Baruch Hashem, there's a converging of so many things right now with this Suda. We have Malav Malka, we have a Siyam HaSeder Nezikin, we have your set of the Basayin, we have Reb Shaila, as we do every Motzei Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. So many simchas taking place. It's really gevaldik. And about Mincha time today, I went to the Tzuriel in the hallway. And he said to me, speaking about the Basayan tonight? I was like, no. And I already have prepared stories about like, maybe the Mudgetzer I was thinking about and others. And so then Maishi Mendelowitz sends me a text saying, I'm doing a seam tonight in honor of the Basayan's Yortzeit. And then I walked in and then Meir said to me, so it was the Basayan, right? Talking about the Basayan. So I get it. Okay, talking about the Basayan. So... that's what Eibishter wants. So Basayan was a Talmud by many tzaddikim. But his Rebbe Muvak was the Chernobyler, the Moronai. And in the Sefer, when he refers to Moiri or the Magid, he's referring to the Moronai. But he was also Talmud of the Barditchever, and by the son of the Moronai, of Motel Chernobyl, the Magid, he was also considered like a Talmud Chaver of his, and he was revered by all the tzaddikim of his time. Of course, he traveled from Europe, and he landed... and he came to the city of Tzfas. And when he arrived on the shores of Eretz Yisrael, so he arrived in Elul, and it was before Rosh Hashanah. And the Sefer here says that he was received by all the Gedolei Yisrael with great warmth and excitement. And everybody was proposing to the Basayan that he should come live in their city. He makes a remiss to this Rashi in this week's parasha. Alai aniach tzadik esreishai. All the Avanim were saying, come to us. And there were different proposals, and he was most excited about Yerushalayim, of course. And when he came to Haifa, and he had a half a minute to stay in Haifa. He was especially fond of the fact that the Ma'ar of Eliyahu is there, and he enjoyed davening there. But during that time, there were very respected people from Tzfas who were asking the Basayan that he should come and settle in Tzfas. They'd be very excited to have him. So to go to Yerushalayim before Rosh Hashanah would be a difficult journey. So, and he was already older when he came to Eretz Yisrael. So he decided that he was going to spend the Yom HaNaraim in Tzfas. And the people there... they welcomed him with open arms, and he was koveya his makom tefila in the Arizal shul, in the Ariz Beis Knesset. And before Rosh Hashanah, before the tkios, so even before he arrived, they were very excited, and there were men, women, and children in the shul, and they anticipated his coming to the shul. And he came into the shul pisayim suddenly, and he went to the bima, and he said with the Pashtas, he said, Rabbi Isai, today is Rosh Hashanah, we need to do tshuva. And he was ma'ir all of their hearts, and the people broke out in crying in tshuva. And so much so that the Shliach Tzibur can hardly daven. Just with that. So, as he spent more time in Tzfas, he saw the tremendous Kedusha and the Precious of the people there, and he started to become very fond of them. And what sealed the deal of his living in Tzfas for the rest of his life was that on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, he was walking through the streets and he overheard a conversation that there was a woman on the top of her roof where many people kept their sukkahs in those days. And she was saying to her son, Yerachmiel, come to the roof. We need to take away all of the kelim and everything which is up here. because soon it's going to be Shemini Atzeres, and we're going to daven for Geshem, and Hashem listens to the tefillas of Klai Yisrael right away, Barachamim, and it's going to start to rain. So before Shemini Atzeres comes, we have to take everything off of the roof. So he was so much spoiled from the fact, from the Amunah and the Tmimus, that Bnei Yisrael is going to daven Shemini Atzeres for rain, and it's going to rain right away. He said, this is from a simple woman in Tzvas. He was so taken by that, that he didn't want to leave the city anymore. He felt that it reflected just a very deep Yerushalayim and Amunah from the people, even from
what
the Pashtun
in
there.
The Basayim?
The name of his sefer is called the Basayim. So one of the well-known things about the Basayim, which is why in recent times a big union has been made about the Yortzeit, is because he wasn't blessed with children. And the reason for that is a Maisa Shahaya, that there was a G'dayli Lita, there was a certain Misnagid, who said a Davar Charif against the Bardishever. And the Basayin, who was a Talmud of the Bardishever, was very upset about that. And let the guy have it. But talking like that against the Bardishever. And that this Misnagid was not happy about that. And he told him, if you don't apologize to me, I'm going to give you a klala that you shouldn't have children. So he says, I refuse to apologize to you for doing that to the Beit Yitzchak. He says, even though I know that your klala makes a roishem and shemayim, I'm not going to be mafias you, because I don't think it's the right thing to do.
Why was his klala able to make roishem and shemayim?
Because Tam Chacham, he was a chasha person. But even after the klala, he refused to be mafias. Another story, that there was a certain rule of a dictator, and they say his name here, Ibrahim Pacha. And he was going to decree some terrible things against Klai Yisrael, but he said that the Basayin and the Sklita Rav, I don't know who that is exactly, that they can take refuge and they could be protected, and there wouldn't be Bechlal the Gezeira. So the Basayin, he refused to go along with such a thing, and he said, whatever goes with the Yidden goes with me also. And so they were toifes him, they arrested him, and they were going to kill him, because they felt it was a merida. Here the chief, the Moshe, is offering you a ptur, and you have the audacity to say that you're not going to accept it. And there were some of the younger chevra, which they knew about this, that they were going to take him out to be killed. They were planning a whole an attack at the time that the killing was going to take place. But the Basayin says, you don't have to get involved. You don't have to get involved. He says that, bring me a cup of water to drink. So he made a shahakal and he drank from the cup. And he said to the Olam, he says, it's said in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that making a bracha of shahakron yamidvaray is matzil, saves a person from sakana. How many shakals we make every single day, right? As Isaac the Baal Shem Tov. So on the way, that they were coming to do what they wanted to do to the Basayin, there was a very dignified Arab person who came and was speaking to the people, to the evil ones, and they were saying, I know the Basayin, and you shouldn't be so harsh on him. And they agreed, and they parted him from that. And afterwards, when he was let free, so the chevra came back to him and they said, listen, I don't know if we should stay here anymore because we're under this rule. Who knows what's going to happen next? He said, no, it's not necessary. In a short while after, this Ibrahim Pacha, he was killed, and there was quiet in the town again after that. You can see the bitachin and the amuna in the words of the Baal Shem Tov, but the fact that he didn't want to leave. Rav Amiga spoke about that by the Piazetz in his yard site. That he too, he didn't want to, he wouldn't leave his people, he wouldn't leave his chevra. It says there's a story about Rav Moshe Leib, who was the Shaychit in Tveria, who every Rosh Chodesh would cook a very chash of a piece of meat, and he would bring it to the Basayin on for his Sudas Rosh Chodesh. And it said that he was a gibor, he was a very, very strong, capable person. he would walk from Tveria to Tzfas to bring him this piece of meat. It took 6 hours to walk. Every Rosh Chodesh he would do it. And the Basayin passed away, and then Rav Moshe Leib passed away. And he appeared to Rav Moshe Leib in a dream to one of his chaverim who was still alive, and he told him that when I was taken to the Beis Din Shlamala, it wasn't going to be pashut for me. They had certain things that I on my list that needed to be corrected. Before he can go to the Gan Eden, he needed to be in the hands of the Malachi Chavala. You know, we shouldn't know from such things. And Rosh Chodesh came, and he heard it was Rosh Chodesh. He says, "Oh, he says I have to go to the Rebbe. I see the Rebbe every Rosh Chodesh because the Basayin already was nifter." So he was looking. He was saying, "Where's the Basayin?" He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You can't go to the Basayin. You're with us. You're with the Malachi Chavala. You can't just roam around freely looking for the Basayin." He said, "What do you mean? I go to my Rebbe every Rosh Chodesh." So they presented it to the Beis Din Shlamala, and he said, "No, he goes every Rosh Chodesh to his Rebbe. Go this Rosh Chodesh also." Because he never missed going on Rosh Chodesh to his Rebbe. So they let him go, and they let him go in. The Malachim accompanied him, and they said, "We're waiting outside for you. As soon as you're done, you have to come outside." So he went into the Basayin, and he shmoozed, whatever Rosh Chodesh, I guess whatever it means that the time was over. So he says, "Rebbe, I have to go." He says, "Who says you have to go? Stay here with me." Right? Who says you have to go? The Kachava. He never left. Meaning he came into the company of the Basayin, and the Malachim didn't have to go outside, and he remained with his Rebbe. Kept him in. Before the Basayin went to Eretz Yisrael, so he visited the Tal Desaron, the mayor from Zitomer. No, Rav Aaron. And he says Rav Aaron was not the Kaver Bios, he wasn't well. And Rav Aaron said to him, he said to the Basayin, he says, "Since you're going to be going to Eretz Yisrael soon, and the water of Eretz Yisrael is very good for me because I'm a chayle, and the waters of Eretz Yisrael can certainly bring me refuah. So I ask of you that you take a little bit of water into your mouth, and then you spit it back into the cup, and then I'll drink from it." It wasn't COVID back then, so I didn't have such issues. So he said, "And the Ritz Hashem, it should be from your refuah." So that's what the Basayin did. And he had a refuah taka. So meaning, so since he had on his mind to go to Eretz Yisrael, it was already as if he was in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the water which would come out of him would be water of Eretz Yisrael. That was the chaf of the Tal Desaron. So the Basayin said, I'm shocked. He said, not because of the Eitzah. He says, "I'm shocked because I never told anybody I was going to go to Eretz Yisrael." He was able to know from my machshavas that I intended to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he told me this Eitzah. But I never told anybody I was planning to go to Eretz Yisrael. But he said, Tzadik Emes. One of the signs of a Tzadik Emes is able to know the machshavas of another person. So he said, he was able to see from there the godless of the Tal Desaron, that he was able to even know before anybody else knew his intentions of coming to Eretz Yisrael. Because once the Basayin was sitting at the tish of the Morinayim, and the Basayin would sit at the under edge of the table, and he would listen to the Divrei Torah. But as soon as the Divrei Torah was over, the Morinayim started to shmooze with the Olam. And as soon as he started to shmooze with the Olam, so the Basayin got all excited, and he ran to the front of the table to listen to the shmooze of the Morinayim. So there was a certain Talmud who didn't like that, and didn't like having been shoved by the Basayin to listen in on the Sichas Chulin of the Morinayim. So he said, he made a comment like, "You're sitting at the end of the table and you hear just fine. All of a sudden the Morinayim is schmoozing a little bit, you come running up." So the Morinayim heard that, and he says, "You don't understand." He says that when I say Divrei Torah, he's so zoned into the Divrei Torah, he can hear it no matter where he is. But as soon as it's not Divrei Torah anymore, he can't hear it. So he has to come closer to hear it. But if it's Divrei Torah, no matter where he is, he can hear it. That's not a problem. There was once there's a lot of stories about the Basayin Rav Shmuel Heller, who was the Avbezin in Tzfas at the time. And he says that he had a Shver Rambam. And he came over to the Basayin and he said to him, "Will you explain to me, you know, Shver Rambam?" So the Basayin said, he says, "Come to me after Mincha and we'll talk about it." So after Mincha came, and he gave the sefer to the Basayin, he presented his kasha, in his army and told him the Teretz to the Shvei Rambam right away. So Shmuel was very surprised and excited about the Pshat, and that he was able to answer it on the spot. So the Vasayan said to him, "Trust me." He says, "It's more Shver, it's harder to make a good davening, to have a good mincha, than it is to answer a Shvei Rambam." That's what he said. Once he was able to have a good davening, which is even more Shver than a Shvei Rambam, he was able to find for a Shvei Rambam. Like, stories like this are packed with hashkafas, mamish. So they're not just stories, it's a mamish. You learn a velt from these stories. Something which is related to a few parshas ago, parshas Vayera. So the Basayan, he was a mayel, but he never participated in Sudas Bris. He never came. His shita was, as explained by Rav Shmuel Slonimer, was that based on that which the Zohar says, that the first day of the bris of the child, he receives his nefesh. And by the second day, he receives his ruach. And by the third day after the bris, he receives his neshama, which is the higher part of the neshama. And that's what the Torah tells us about Avraham Avinu's suda on the third day of Mila, because that's really the ikar day of the celebration of the bris. And the Masayin held that the real sudas Mila should be dafka on the third day, not on the first, not on the second. And because of that, he would have only been mishtatif in a sudas bris if it was the third day, even if he was the mile, only on the third day. No. What?
See, we still do it today.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Did you do dafka the third day?
I was by a suda.
What do they do on the third day?
They should do the milasa. Yeah. They have a whole
Okay.
I gotta get really cool. I gotta get good with this.
Okay, very interesting. Very interesting.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. One last story. There was a Bishop Shmuel Heller. So the Basayan told him that he should be Oisik in Refuas. So I guess he thought that he had a certain tchuna to be Merapi Cholim. So he told him to get into to be like a pharmacist, and he would send him Cholim for prescriptions. So at one point, Rav Shmuel says, "I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done with this business." So Basayan inquired. He sent a shliach. He says, "Why? I told you to do this, and you're just going to stop." So he says, "It's giving me a bilbulim." He says, "Why?" "Because they bring me these prescriptions, and they're all written in Latin. And it says that when I come to Kriya Shema, and I have to see the Shema Yisrael Shema Chan in my head, all I see is Latin." It's like in this week's parsha, you know, like the Rav quoted today by the Shalosh Shittes time. But the Kutzker said that Yaakov knew it was time to leave the house of Lavan when he started to see, you know, sheep in his dream. And so he says, "I had enough of this already. Like, I'm starting to see Latin when I'm saying Kriya Shema, so I can't have it stare me anymore." Do mebabel my kabbalah samach shemayim. So the Basayan, he took a handkerchief, and he put it against his eyes. The eyes, and he rubbed it against his eyes, and he says, "He shouldn't have any problems anymore." Kachav, took care of the problem. So, we'll just share one word from the Basayan. Chanukah is approaching, so. Says that Chanukah hu tikun hatoyhu. Chanukah is a time to be mesakin all of the confusion, the mess, the tohu in the world. And the ikar tikun of tohu is to be mild of the gashmias. To be mild of the gashmias, to its makor and kedusha. That everything which we do, all the milin da alma, which we do b'chutz, that they should all be the shem shemayim. The Talmud Yehiras Hashem Neged Panav, that a person should always go with Yer Shemaim and always be Machavin in that which he does, Hashem Shemaim and Tavadis Hashem. It was a Yal Kalasi Yosef, Umidoisev, Agashmi, Machinus, Toyad, Machinus Kedusha, that raises up all of that which we do in Gashmias, which is Tohu, to the realm of Kedusha. And that's what Chazal say, to light near Chanukah on the Pesach Habayis Mibachutz, to light it outside the home, on the Pesach Habayis. Because the Ikar Mitzvah is to put it at the Pesach Habayis Mibachutz. Chutz is like the Lashon of the Chitzonim outside the realm of Kedusha. As if to say, Mishiachoy L'Spirah, the last Sak, the Nyanim Gashmiim, to raise up the Gashmias in the Shuk, the Kavanah Tayvach, the Dalaisim LaKedusha. But even in the world of Tayhu, outside the realm of Kedusha, needs an Ali also. It's really very much a Malava Malka Dika Inyan. because Shabbos is considered to be within the bias, and Motzei Shabbos is outside the bias. And it's a time where we go back into the world of Gashmias, into the working world, into the Gashmias of the world. And it's right there at the Pesach of Shabbos that Hashem Yisbarach says, make a Malav Malka. Take a little bit of Or. We know even that by Malav Malka we laid four candles, the Kavod, Davar Malka Mashicha, who is the fourth regel. The way it works is that Friday night there's two. But since the Bracha of Shabbos, everything on Shabbos is double, so by the time Motzei Shabbos comes, the two doubles into four. But Chanukah is eight nights. It has eight lights, because what that means, that the Malava Malka, which is David, which is four, doubles into eight. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu is the secret of the candles on Friday night, that's why there's two candles, and the four candles is Keneged David HaMelech on Motzei Shabbos, but what happens is that David, Mashiach, since Mashiach is Ben David, so Mamela, two times four is eight, and that's why there are eight candles to the menorah, which symbolizes Varachti Ner LeMashichi. That's why I'm saying that there are seven candles on the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and we light one more for Mashiach Tzidkenu. Mashiach represents the number eight, that's the Or of Ner Chanukah. And in fact, the Zohar says, as brought to Madarachem in Parshas Vayechi, that the neshama of Mashiach is a combination of David and Moshe. So Moshe is Friday night, David is Motzei Shabbos, and the fusion of that creates the lights of Chanukah. That's why the gematria of Moshe and David is gematria Mashiach, with the koilo, because you have to be koilo them together. And so, what Malava Malka represents is this idea of koivish lechutz, to be koivish the gashmias. It's time that we go back into the gashmias, and it allows us mibachutz to be mala. That was the koyach of David HaMelech. So in the schus of the siyum, in the schus of the yartzeit of the bas melech, of the bas ayin, of the shayla, and David Malka Mashicha, we should be zeichet to this koyach of tamid yihya yiras Hashem neged panav, and to be malah the gashmias, and to ruchnias, and to go with the tzvikot hatzlacha, with alf klayis, and malachim shehem, and to be zeichet to the oros shel Chanukah, bizmanoi, bishleimus, and to oros shel Mashiach tzidkenu, v'mehirah v'minu, amen.
Amen.